Good morning. All night long, the church has sat around the tomb, keeping vigil and telling the stories. From the very beginning of the history of our people up to this very day, the story of creation, the beginning the beginning of the beginning. The story of Abraham. The story of Exodus. The story of the occupation into the land in Joshua. The story of Eli and Samuel. The story of Ezekiel and Jonah and Zephaniah and all the prophets. And the wisdom writers, too, who called together all this history. And as we've done that, one of the things we've noticed that's been pointed out to us by the people who conducted each of the hours of the vigil is the complexity of the God presentation in all those stories. Our God, not a simple God, or maybe too simple to be described in simple words. The God of creation is a God of majesty and awe who can spread out a universe and call it into existence over 13 billion years, and yet a God who can know each of us by name and care for us as individuals. And as we heard about Abraham and Melchizedek and Seth, we heard about a God who blesses and a God who promises and a God who begins a relationship to call daughters and sons to God's self. In Exodus, Moses told us of a God who will bring us out of the land of Egypt, free us from slavery. But we have to be willing to be freed from slavery, which is sometimes more comfortable than not. We need to be willing to accept our own responsibility and accountability and willing to surrender ourselves freely to this God that we may be set free. Complicated notion. God. In Samuel, we hear a God whose voice is very direct, very personal, calling by name, and yet hard to recognize. And when we do recognize it, sometimes it lays upon us a message that we just as soon not deliver. And yet that's what the call is all about. God seems to grow more and more complicated as we go on. In Joshua, a God who calls us to take possession of the land and do so in a very violent manner. Doesn't seem right. And yet at the same time, by walking in silence around the city for 7 days. In silence, as the prelude to violence. Doesn't begins to get confusier and confusier. In Ezekiel, God seems sometimes almost as crazy as Ezekiel is. And the things that come out of God's mouth in that book cause us to sit there and scratch our heads. Jonah, great story. It's about, again, conflicting things. God calls Jonah and doesn't know Jonah doesn't want to go. God calls us. And we don't want to go. And generally for the same reason. because God wants to announce more mercy to more people than we're comfortable with. We need to break out of that comfort zone and understand a God whose compassion is infinite. And in Zephaniah, in three little chapters, we have a God who tears them apart with claws and layers blessing on them and blessing on blessing. All in three chapters. A God who gives hope to people who did not have hope. All different aspects of God. And yet all part of the biblical picture of who God is. Why is that important for us today? Because that's the God to whom Jesus related. That's the God of whom Jesus had this direct, personal, Abba experience. This is the God to whom Jesus confided himself in his death. As we saw Thursday and Friday, back even to last Sunday, Jesus does not know what's going to happen. He has no belief in the natural immortality of the soul. It's a total act of confidence to trust himself to this God that we have just seen so many varied ways throughout the night. And the feast today celebrates the vindication of Jesus' trust. That even in the face of death, Jesus would not give up on this God of his race, this God of his people, this complicated God that stretches across Torah and Tanakh. Jesus would not let go of God. And God, in turn, even in the face of death, does not let go of Jesus, but rather raises him up. What does that mean? We don't know. They stretch word pictures around it, but we don't know what that means. We know this much. For all we heard about this God in all these readings, in all this history, over all these years, it's a God who constantly calling us into relationship. We're slowly beginning to, I think, appreciate the existential dimension of that. If you will, the ontological dimension of that. That being in relationship is a higher form of being than just being. And this God is a God who calls us to be in relationship with, who calls us to be face to face with, who calls us to make a covenant with. And a covenant is a pledge of a permanent relationship. When this God pledges a permanent relationship, it's exactly what it means. It is unconquerable even by death. Even on the other side of the grave, on the other side of the dissolution of all that is naturally human, we are still related to God. And to be related to God is to be alive. We are still alive because we are still face to face with God. Whatever that means, when God truly doesn't have a face as we do, and we may not either at that point. But we know what face to face means. This is the God of Jesus. This is the God into his hands he commended himself. This is the God who raised him up. This is the God who will raise us up. We profess our faith in this Jesus and in Jesus God. We are baptized. We renew our baptismal promises this day. This is the great feast of baptism. Because we are baptized into Jesus, We share in Jesus' relationship to God, this absolute, pledged, covenantal relationship with God that transcends even death, that is stronger than Sheol, that is more enduring than the dissolution of all that we know. So it was for Jesus. So it is for Jesus. So it will be for us. Happy Easter.